Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 20. Vasudeva upasrutya. Vasudeva upasrutya. Prataram nandamagatam. Prataram nandamagatam. Yatvadatta karam ragne. Yatvadatta karam ragye. Yayo tad avamochanam. Yayo tad avamochanam. Vasudeva upasrutya. Prataram nandamagatam. Yatvadatta karam ragne. Yayo tad avamochanam. Others. Vaishnavis. Vasudeva. Vasudev. Upasrutya. When he heard. Brataram. That his dear friend and brother. Nandam. Nanda Maharaj. Agatam. Had come to Mathura. Gyatva. When he learned. Dattakaram, and had already paid the taxes. Rajne, unto the king. Yayo, he went. Tat avamochanam, to the residential quarters of Nanda Maharaj. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Vasudev heard that Nanda Maharaj, his very dear friend and brother, had come to Mathura and had already paid the taxes to Kamsa, he went to Nanda Maharaj's residence. Purport. Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj were so intimately connected that they lived like brothers. Furthermore, it is learned from the notes of Sripad Madhvacharya that Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj were stepbrothers. Vasudev's father, Surashain, married a Vaishya girl, and from her, Nanda Maharaj was born. Later, Nanda Maharaj himself married a Vaishya girl, Yasoda. Therefore, his family is celebrated as a Vaishya family, and Krishna, identifying himself as their son, took charge of Vaishya activities. Krishigo Raksha Vanijam. Balaram represents plowing the land for agriculture and therefore always carries in his hand a plow, whereas Krishna tends cows and therefore carries a flute in his hand. Thus the two brothers represent Krishi Raksha and Go Raksha. So Prabhupada doesn't elaborate much on the significance of this here in this particular text in purport, but he does in text number 26 of this same chapter, six texts ahead. So I'm going to go ahead and read that, and that'll give us a better appreciation of what Prabhupada's referring to here. So text 26 reads, translation, "My dear friend Nanda Maharaj, in the place where you are living with your friends, is the forest favorable for the animals, the cows? I hope there is no disease or inconvenience. The place must be full of water, grass, and other plants." And this is Prabhupada's purport now. Yeah, everybody will forget by then. It's just a thing. Well, there might be a lot of different subjects there. Okay. I won't read it. I won't read it because there's too much stuff in between. Okay, so I'll just refer to it. Okay, so anyway, so basically the idea is that in this purport, which I won't read now, but I'll refer to, Prabhupada explains that for human beings to be happy, you have to care for the animals, especially the cows. And in order for that to happen, there has to be adequate pasturing grounds, forests, etc. He makes the point that, you know, by doing that, human society benefits because it can derive, you know, milk products from the cows. And that's this Krishna's arrangement. And I'll read one sentence, okay, which hopefully won't spoil it for the person who's going to be eventually giving this class. Prabhupada says that people are raising cattle to send to the slaughterhouse, and that's a great sin. By this demoniac enterprise, people are ruining their chance for a truly human life because they are not giving any importance to the instructions of Krishna. The advancement of their so-called civilization resembles the crazy efforts of men in a lunatic asylum. So that's pretty strong words. Yeah. Modern-day attempts for advancement of so-called civilization resemble the crazy efforts of men in a lunatic asylum. So this Krishi refers to plowing, and Go is, of course, the cows. Krishi, Go Raksha, is very Krishi, Go Raksha, Vanijam is very important. Actually, I'm pleased to say that an attempt to do this is being made 1.5 hour from here in Bellflower. Maybe some of you have heard about it. Vatsal, our god brother, brought a calf from Texas for his son Balaram and his wife Vishaka. They moved to a suburb called Bellflower. It's about a half hour, it's only a half hour east of here. And apparently in that county, the law is if you have 17,000 square feet, you can keep an animal. So I've been there. I did Sankirtan there. I was really surprised to hear this, but there are people there with pigs and chickens and horses. And so you brought a calf, and it's a four-month calf. So they're going to make an attempt to do some cow protection. They got off to a shaky start because I think it was yesterday morning, very early in the morning, they had the cow in like a barn. And if any of you have ever, well, probably everybody has, at least in the movies, barn doors, the way they work is it's not a solid door. You know, you have the door, but in the middle of the door, you can take, you know, you can open the top part. Can you visualize that? You know, it's a door, right? And like about 4 foot up, you can just open that part. So you got, you're standing there with the bottom part of the door in front of you, but the top part of the door is open. Okay, so they had the calf in the in the barn like that, with the top part of the door open, and it jumped out. It somehow or another cleared that 4 foot plus, four foot or 4 foot and a half lower part of the door, and it just, you know, it bolted. And Vatsal yelled out, "She's out!" And, you know, he's my age. He's 65. He's not going to start running around. But his son is pretty young and healthy. So his son saw, and you know, he was wearing flip-flops, which don't get you very far. So he took off the flip-flops, and he just started, you know, trying to chase it down. And he ran over. He jumped in his truck. You know, he's a plumber. He had his work truck. He was chasing, you know, trying to track the thing. And at one point he got to Woodruff Avenue, which is like a main street. It was, fortunately, it happened on a Sunday. And he asked, you know, he lost sight of it, and he asked these people, "Hey, have you seen a cow?" You know, and they said, "Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, we did. It went that way, you know." So anyway, for 3 hours he was chasing after this calf. And, what happened, you know, it would keep going down like alleys and little ways, and every time he cornered it, it would either kind of figure out a way to kind of weasel out of the whole situation, or if it couldn't, if it saw it was just cornered, it just put its head down and just, and charged, and just bolted right past him. Anyway, after about 2.5 hours or so, it got tired out, and they got some ropes in there, and they were, with great difficulty, they were able to rope it, you know, control it, put it back in the trailer and get it back to the property. But so, you know, as I said, they're off to a shaky start, but still, it's glorious. But so the question is, so from that one might think, well, is it practical? You know, maybe in a lot of situations, no. But it's the ideal way of life for human society. And I think that's the significance of why it is that Krishna and Balaram come as cowherd boys. As the Supreme Personality of God in himself and his immediate expansion, Balaram. And what's he doing? He could have done anything. You know, when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, he could have done anything that he wanted to do. He could just spend all day flying through the sky, or you name it, he could do it. Right, but this is what he chose to do. He chose to come in a Vaishya family and take care of the cows. And his immediate expansion, his brother Balaram, you know, he chose to have him come and plow the fields, you know, take care of that. So it's showing. It's just like, to give an example, let's say you had two, you know, the two greatest mathematicians ever visit like an elementary school. Albert Einstein and whoever else, you know. And they sit down and they have a bunch of little beads, and they start playing this game where Albert Einstein pushes one bead and then three beads over to the other mathematician, and then he pushes four beads back. And they get, and everybody's watching. So, you know, what should they be thinking? Should they be thinking, oh, they're mocking us, or they're trying to entertain us? No, it's like they're trying to teach us something. You know, these two greatest mathematicians ever coming, and they're doing this thing here. What are they trying to tell us? Like that, we should be thinking like that, that you know, Krishna and Balaram are coming as cowherd boys. What does that mean? What are they trying to tell us? My analysis would be that they're trying to tell us that this is the ideal way for human beings to live. This is the ideal way for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of human life, the creator of life, the creator of this earth, everything, is coming, and he's showing by his own example, he's saying it in words too, but showing by how he's living, this is the ideal way to live. You know, this human form of life is meant for simple living and high thinking. The human form of life is the form of life where you can get out of the cycle of birth and death and go back to Godhead. So Krishna's showing by his own example, okay, look, hey, relax, chill out. Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. It's very simple. You just live off the land, okay? You just, you know, you live on the land, you take care of these animals, you take care of the cows. Very simple. And you plow the field with the bull, you plow the field, and you grow your own food, and you drink the cow's milk, and you make yogurt with it, and you do these different things, and live very nice. You know, you'll live very peacefully, very happily. And then with the balance of your time, because you'll have a lot of time, because you're not, you know, busying yourself with building skyscraper buildings and this and that, then you concentrate on developing your God consciousness. You see? And this is the ideal way for humans. You know, human society is supposed to, ideally, should be an agrarian-based society where most of the people are just involved in agricultural activities. There was this book written many, many years ago, and I really honestly don't know how bona fide it was, but I'm going to mention it anyway. It was written by Harikesh, and it was called Vanashram Manifesto. And I'm only mentioning it because it's the one thing he mentioned in this book which sticks out in my mind, and I think he got it from Prabhupada, but I can't trace back the source. He said that in the Vanashram system, the demographics, the distribution of population in the different castes went something like this. He said that only 1%, even in the, you know, this is going back to the Vedic times, only like 1% of the population were Brahmins. You know, it wasn't like there was 25% Brahmins, 25% Kshatriyas, 25% Vaishyas, and 25%. No. 1% were Brahmins. Then there was like 3 or 4% Kshatriyas, 7 or 8% Vaishyas, something like that. It's too many years ago. I can't remember the exact figures. But the vast majority of the people were Sudras. You know, a lot of Sudras. Maybe it wasn't as high as I just, but a lot of Sudras, you know. Some vices, some, so like that. So the point is that, you know, people are meant to live in this agrarian situation, you know, just working, laboring, plowing the field, you know. Does anybody ever plow the field? Raise your hand if you plowed a field. I have, actually. Was it fun? It was certainly hard work, right? I got to plow a field when I was living in North Carolina at Prabhupada Village for a while, and Balabhadra was there. Madhuha was allowing him to use some acres, you know, to do his program, cow protection. And I actually got to be behind the oxen. He was training oxen. And, you know, I didn't last long, but it was, you have to be strong. Otherwise, you just get... Anybody here ever milk a cow? Milk a cow? How was that? Also, you got to know what you're doing. Okay, but hopefully everybody's at least drank milks directly from a cow. Is there anybody who hasn't drank milk directly from a cow? Really? Okay, you're missing out. It's actually way different. It's cream different. That's going to be like a pun. But in other words, when you get the milk directly from the cow, the milk comes with the cream. You know, it tastes, it's like real different than what you buy in the store here. This is like whitewash compared to actual cow's milk, right? Delicious. So anyway, so, you know, people were meant to live in that type of a situation, you know, plowing the field, taking care of the cows and like that. You got the Sudras would be the laborers. They do the work, and the Vaishyas, you know, could They had some brains. They could oversee the whole thing and, you know, protect the cows and, you know, see that all the business aspects of it, trade if there was extra, etc. The Kshatriyas, they'd be around to kind of protect all the Vaishya communities, you know. And the Brahmins would be there to, you know, give guidance to, you know, recommend to people how they could advance in their spiritual life. And things would go on very nicely. So it's actually the ideal life. Now, somebody might ask the question then, okay, well, if that's the case, I agree, it sounds like, you know, that's the ideal life. Actually, before I go on to that, I'm going to try to substantiate this point a little bit more by giving you, not reading the purport that I wasn't supposed to read, but I'm going to read something, just a couple little snippets from Prabhupada, where he emphasizes this himself, and just so you get an idea how, you know, how important Prabhupada felt it was. This is an excerpt from a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Rupanuga on December 18th, 1974. So I'm just going to read an excerpt. It says here, and the production of food is dependent on the rain, and the rain, of course, is dependent on the chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, let everyone chant Hare Krishna, eat nicely, and keep their bodies fit and healthy. This is the ideal lifestyle. We do not condemn modern civilization, but we don't like to get it at the cost of God consciousness. That is suicide. Okay, well, that's good. That's okay, but this, let's see. Here's the one I really wanted to read. Okay, so Prabhupada's... this is a morning walk conversation. Just to give you an idea of Prabhupada's, how he's, his, you know, his take on the whole thing. He says, everywhere I go and say, so much land is lying and these rascals are not developing. And they are making, what is that? Coal, stone. They're interested with these bricks and stones, not green vegetables. Such a rascal government. Give them facility. We know how to do it. It means give people facility. We know. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anasambhava yajad pavati parjanya. Let them engage in kirtan. There will be more water for gardening, and it will be moist, and then produce fodder for the animals and food for you. Animal gives you milk. That is Vrindavan life. And they are absorbed in this so-called opulence. They are now he's referring to Vrindavan life. Krishna has taken birth. They are bringing so many nice, pleasant foodstuffs, very well-dressed and ornamented. These are description. In the morning, we were reading. So I must have been reading from the early part of the 10th canto. How they were happy, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, with Krishna and living, and cows. Now Prabhupada goes, that I want to introduce. At any cost, do it, he says. Don't bother about big, big buildings. It is not required. Useless waste of time. Produce. Make the whole field green. See that. Then whole economic question solved. And he goes on to say, then you eat sumptuous, the animal is happy. The animal, and then Prabhupada's elaborating here on how practical it is the animal even does not give milk. Let them eat grass and pass stool and urine. And even after the cow is finished giving milk, he says, let them eat grass and pass stool and urine. He says, that is welcome. After all, eating, they pass stool. So that is beneficial. Not that simply milk is beneficial. Even the stool is beneficial. So Prabhupada's, you know, in his own unique way, you know, giving us insight to how practical this is. Even you don't get milk from the cow. Even you just get the stool from the cow and urine from the cow. The urine is used in Ayurvedic medicine for curing diseases. The stool is used for, you know, fertilizer and fuel and so many things, you know. So he goes, says, even the stool is beneficial. Here it comes, he says. Therefore, I'm asking so much. Here, farm, 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 four times. I think he's in New Talavan. This is a conversation that took place in New Talavan, because he says here. Therefore, I'm asking so much here, farm, 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 farm. Prabhupada goes, that is not my program, Krishna's program. Anad Bhavanti Bhutani. Produce greenness everywhere, 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 Vrindavan. It is not this motor car civilization. If it is taken in his brain, referring to the members of the community there, then it is to be understood that he can do this plan. As if they get the idea, they'll think about it, the devotees will be able to do it. So, you know, you can see Prabhupada really strongly emphasizing this way of life. He thought it was very important, ideal life. And so now we're going to raise the question. Somebody would ask, well, what's going on? How come we're not doing that more? See? Well, I have enough time to try to tackle it. We have to understand that Prabhupada was coming. He came. He was trying to introduce Vedic civilization from scratch. You know, he had to do everything. You know, certainly this is supremely important. But at the same time, everything Prabhupada did was supremely important, absolutely fundamental and necessary. You know, not just this. So he came and he started with the chanting. I mean, he couldn't start with the cow. Just practically speaking, how could he start with the cow protection? You know, he wouldn't be practical. He started with the chanting, and he expanded things from there. This is definitely something that we want to do. We acknowledge this is the, you know, an ideal way for human society to live, but we have to kind of do it in a proper, we have to keep it in a proper perspective. Well, for instance, here, this is 500 years ago, Krishna was here as Lord Chaitanya. Okay? At that time, he didn't come as a cowherd boy. He came as a Brahmin. Well, there is some pastime where they asked him about how he was able to, you know, I can't remember the details of the pastime, but he was asked about how it was that he took birth in a Brahmin family. And he said, in my past life, I was a cowherd boy. And I was taking it, and I took care of cows, and because of that pious activity, now I've taken birth as a Brahmin and then a sannyasi. Remember that pastime? So anyway, but Lord Chaitanya, you know, took birth as a Brahmin, and he engaged in Harinam Sankirtan. That was what he was promoting. You see, so it's not a contradiction. It's just that, I mean, how one way it can be understood is this: that Krishna is interactive. You know, he's not like his program is not static or stagnant, dynamic. So, you know, when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, he came with his brother and he lived like that. But 500 years ago, when Lord Chaitanya was here and Balaram came as Lord Nityananda, they saw the need to emphasize something different. You know, because human society changes over time. And 4,500 years had passed. And things probably got a lot more degraded. This is like what's called a philosophical speculation. I've never heard Prabhupada say this, but I'm speculating on the basis of the philosophy that this is what the case was. So anyway, he saw the need to, propagate or promote this congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord as the only, you know, as given in that shloka we recite, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastieva, 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 Gatira Nyata, that in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is to chant the holy name. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. So Lord Chaitanya saw the necessity, Krishna as Lord Chaitanya saw the necessity to promote that. Because he saw where human society was at, you know, and he's, you know, as I said, he's interactive. He's doing what's needed for people at that time. So that's, you know, something we could take into consideration. And Prabhupada, following in his footsteps, you know, he came and he started with the holy name. He set up temples and, emphasized that. But also, you know, not he didn't. He also emphasized, introduced at least, and you know, encouraged these activities, and you know, the emphasized the importance of it. And he also introduced book distribution. He also introduced book distribution, and whether that's a further like adjustment, you know, like as I just said, like, you know, Krishna and Balaram, when they were here 5,000 years ago, they were doing Vaishya activities, at least in the early part of their life. And then Lord Chaitanya came and he was promoting the Harinam Sankirtan, and then Prabhupada came and he's producing, you know, promoting book distribution. So how do, you know, how does it all, how do we understand it all? Sometimes devotees kind of think, they wonder, well, you know, these days book distribution gets so much emphasis, it gets promoted so much. What was Prabhupada's feeling about that? You know, did Prabhupada actually approve of that? That book distribution, it's almost sometimes promoted to the point where Harinam, but to speak of cow protection, Harinam gets, takes the back seat. What was Prabhupada's actual feeling about that? Well, actually, thanks to my Sankirtan partner, Jai Chaitanya Das, I actually found a, I was given a letter. He read this in Vaisheshika's book, For Our Family Business. Prabhupada was actually asked about that on one occasion. And here it is. And that was, how do we understand that? So Prabhupada, this is Prabhupada's answer to a question. You'll be, the question will be obvious from Prabhupada's answer. It says, regarding your question, is it all right to assign the entire Sankirtan party for distributing books so that no one will be free for street chanting? So that was the question that Prabhupada was asked, okay? And this Prabhupada said, of course, we should, he said, it, yeah, Prabhupada said, if someone is hearing us singing on the street, or if he is purchasing one book, and if he reads sincerely, these two activities are the same. Okay? He said, but if there's any occasion of necessity, if there are not very many men available, or if there's prohibition by municipal authorities, something like that, we may assign everyone for distributing our literatures. There is no loss for that. But it goes on. He didn't stop there. Then he says, next sentence, but it is always better if there are also some devotees chanting loudly on the street. If there is even one man or two men or a small party who are chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada says, that will increase the book sales. So, if there are sufficient men, and we have got sanction by the authorities, Prabhupada says, it is always better to have at least a small party chanting along with as many distributors of books as possible. So that's a wonderful instruction from Srila Prabhupada. So, trying to put it all together, here we are, 2016, was it? September 26th or 27th, whatever. And we're in New Dwarka, right? We're at a temple in the middle of the city of Los Angeles. And it's a temple that Prabhupada spent a lot of time at here. And it was an important project. I think Prabhupada considered this, he referred to it as his Western World Headquarters. So New Dwarka is an important project. So, you know, should we all abandon, jump ship, and move out to the farms and try to, you know, do cow protection and plow the fields? I don't think so. Do we all want to see that happen? You know, do we all want to see that cow protection and, you know, that project is, yeah, of course, from the bottom of our heart. You know, we're like, it's like a devotee's dream that if I can't do that, I'd like it at least to know that somebody's doing that. Some devotees somewhere, some people somewhere are getting the opportunity as a result of the efforts of devotees in ISKCON to live that life and become devotees like that. You know, we want that. Just like parents dream something better for their kids kind of thing. So we're feeling like that. You know, we'd like to see that happen. But for us, you know, I think we gotta really sit tight, stay here and try to batten down the hatches and kind of develop this project. Prabhupada also said, and this towards the end of his life, he said, if you can't increase what I've given you, at least maintain it. You know? He said that, and that was towards the end. If you can't increase, maintain it. So here we are. We're in a situation where, you know, we're members of a community, one of the very important projects that Srila Prabhupada established, New Dwarka, and we have to maintain it. We have to worry. Ideally, we want to increase it, but if we can't increase it, we want to maintain it. And here, maintaining this means New Dwarka, we're all about deity worship. We have a very high standard of deity worship. Thank God, to this day, you know, due to like very stalwart devotees, Rabindranath, Mother Gunavati, sorry, et cetera, you know, Sri Sachi, I mean, and on, there's so many different devotees that have, you know, really dedicated themselves to making this program and keeping it what it is. New Dwarka is famous throughout the world for high standard of deity worship. You know, we have book distribution still to this day going on very strongly here in New Dwarka. Our temple president is just happens to be the North American BBT trustee. You know, you couldn't have a more favorable or, you know, involved temple president in book distribution than what we have. And we also have a couple fanatics about Harinam too. We have, you know, Gopalananda, Govinda. We have, you know, like a core group of, so for us, you know, following in pursuance of that instruction of Prabhupada, if you can't maintain, if you can't increase, maintain, everybody, we should be trying to plug in to these activities. You know, and this, that'll keep New Dwarka strong and healthy. The deity worship, support the deity worship, support the Harinam, support the book distribution, right? It's very practical. The way we can support the deity worship is just go to Rabindranath and say, Prabhu, what do you need help with? That's an easy one. You know? And the way we can support the book distribution in Harinam, one practical suggestion is, and this is real practical, we can start coming out. As I mentioned in my last class, there's two Harinams a week, Friday evening, goes to Santa Monica. Saturday evening, generally, goes to Hollywood. And they're great spots. I joined in New York in 1973, and the Harinam used to go to Times Square. And these spots are practically on par with Times Square. They're a little less busy, you know, but they're really good spots for Harinam. And as we just heard in that letter, Prabhupada's saying that, yeah, you should have book distribution with Harinam. We just, in thinking about it and, you know, discussing it with Jai Chaitanya, we realized that our Harinam party doesn't move around. You know, back in New York, we used to do the marching. We would, the whole time, pretty much 90% of the time, we were on the move. But here in New Dwarka, we just kind of basically stay in one place, and Santa Monica, two places. So I say 90% of the time we're stationary, which means that we're going to try a book table. We're going to come out there with a, you know, a nice lightweight thing and just plunk down a book table and see how that works, and you know, try to cultivate that program. So anyway, in an attempt to like encourage devotees to participate more, we've got a sign up sheet here. Just like they have sign-up sheets for 24-hour kirtan, you know, this special festival, that. So we got a sign-up sheet now. And we're going to try to see if we can get devotees to commit themselves to come out either Friday night or Saturday night. We'd like to build these at that program. Because, you know, by coming out, you're supporting two of the things that New Dwarka is really all about, Harinam and book distribution. And it's great. It's good for you. I mean, I've been going out for the last 2 months. I could feel the benefit. And it creates like a, as I said in the last class, more of a community spirit. You can feel it. You can feel like it's something in addition that we're doing together. And it's not just any old thing. It's what we're really all about, you know, the Hare Krishna movement. We're known for chanting and distributing all literature. And it's probably, you know, each additional devotee that comes out on the party, you can feel the potency increase. So that's something we have here. We'd like to try to. So I will stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments here? Rabindranath Prabhu.
Importance of Harinam and book distribution, especially in the city, that's understood, you know, because you got, you know, so many people, and you can't really develop Varnashrama in terms of like foreign communities and things like that. But what about householders who have children? I mean, what about their education? So what do we do about that situation?
Yeah. Well, that's a, I won't say problematic. It's problematic. It is problematic. It's challenging. They have different choices. They could move to a community where there is a gurukul, if there is, if it's such a community exists. They can homeschool their children. That's something some, I know some people are doing. That's a tough one. That's a hard one. Because, you know, it's been seen that a lot of the kids that just mainstream in the karmi schools, it's it doesn't help them a lot. You know, it's kind of, I mean, the parents are probably going, if they make it through it in one piece and they come out devotees at the other end, they're probably thanking their lucky deities. I was going to say lucky stars, but, you know, they really, I mean, that's a good point. And we haven't really come up with an adequate solution. But I don't know. We have, you know, we have, it's yet it's a work in progress. Yeah.
Thank you for a nice class. Your fundamental question about, or statement, that this lifestyle is meant for human beings, simple living, high thinking. The problem in Kali Yuga is that there are no human beings. So the Krishna consciousness movement, as Prabhupada stressed on Sunday, is supposed to take this rabble of Kali Yuga and turn them into human beings. Mm. When you have human beings, then naturally they will gravitate, he said, to get them out of the modes of ignorance and passion and bring them to goodness. When you're in goodness, naturally you gravitate to that lifestyle. The problem is, and we've tried, it's not like if somebody's sitting here this morning would think that, oh, this is something new, we've never tried it. No. ISKCON has had so many big farms and still struggling with some here, right here in the United States, like Gita Nagari and New Vrindavan. And the reason why it didn't work is because the devotees were not themselves yet at that standard of the mode of goodness. So you preach to them and you push them hard and they go there and they work hard for 2 years, 3 years, and then they run back to the cities because that's what fits their psychophysical nature, being in the city. Not necessarily to preach in the city, they just feel more at home in the city. Some people voluntarily, even though they're in the mode of goodness, they stay in the cities to preach. That's one thing. But the mass of people feel more at home in cities because that it matches their ignorant and passionate lifestyle. And therefore, the book distribution in the Harinam is meant for that. It's just like when somebody complained to Prabhupada right here on a morning walk. And you know, Prabhupada, when we tell people about the principles, they get upset. They don't want to. Prabhupada stopped and he actually stopped and slapped his cane and said, "Why are you upset? Why you don't understand? You're preaching to cats and dogs." He said, "You make them fortunate by giving them Harinam and giving them prasadam. Then you have a chance of turning cats and dogs into human beings. Once they get to the human platform, then they will naturally grab." See, Krishna didn't appear in Los Angeles and then had to preach to people to become Vaishyas. He appeared in a pure Vaishya family as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Hmm. You see? But Prabhupada didn't come into a pure Vaishya situation. He came into a situation of cats and dogs living in cities. So he had to turn them into human beings first by Harinam and book distribution. And then once they get a little bit towards the mode of goodness, they naturally gravitate towards. Then you have a chance of keeping them. So if you want something immediate, you have basically two choices. Either preach to farmers and turn them into devotees. They're already farming. You just have to make them into devotees. Or you would append yourself to a farming village.
Yeah.
Like in Vrindavan area or so many rural areas in India or rural areas remaining here in the United States. Rather than trying to start something from scratch. We made the big mistake of having 1,500 acres in Texas. We had once a 1,500 acre farm. And then you take city boys and send them there to become farmers and they don't last. Lo and behold. And then the whole thing falls apart. So you're better off either preaching to farmers or appending yourself to a farming. But now as I'm traveling in Europe, I see the second thing happening. Like a devotee used to be here, Kukudmi. He bought a couple of acres next to a farmer. And even though he himself is still engaged in the city and can't stay there, the farmer was so happy that city boys are coming and going to try farming. He promised to take care of the property, take care of the cows whenever they're not there. They have a few cows already. You see, the farmers, because their own children run away to the cities. So those farmers that remain, they're so happy to see city people trying, giving farming a shot. They're willing to help you any which way, teach you everything, and take care of your cows when you're not there. So I think that's a better idea. Rather than trying to start a huge project from scratch, go append yourself to a village that's already operating. And the people who are there, generally, they're more motive of goodness anyway. That's why they're farming. They'll help you. They may not be pure. They may still be eating meat or whatever, but at least they have more motive of goodness tendencies.
Yeah, thank you. I agree with that 100%. We're kind of out of time. So I'd just like to say that this sign-up sheet, Jai Chaitanya will be taking care of the sign-up sheet. So if anybody would like to sign up for that Friday night or Saturday night Harinam, and just, you know, in this way give us a vote of support, he'll be taking care of that. You can approach him and sign up. Thank you. Grantarod Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Okay.